It is crazy. These cards flip. Friends. All right. Are we getting ready?
That's going to be
we gotta the get intro our president.
Song. Who sings that song?
Bette Midler.
Oh.
I thought you were
going to
do that joke.
No, I wasn't. Like, no, I
was throw something at him.
I legitimately wanted to know who was singing it.
Who sings that song? Bette Midler, and keep it that
look,
way.
Look, I'm only a dick once we're into the show. Was very tame. I liked it.
Welcome back to season two.
Woo! Woo! We made it to season two.
We did. Of the Missing Movie Club.
Despite our best efforts.
Right.
Right. There tried to be a coup, but it failed. Nice. Anyway, yeah, fair we're back enough. For season two. We had a special epi for with two special
two.
Epis.
We had like 12 special epis.
12. That was a lot. Christmas season was a busy time for us.
It was.
It was nice though.
It was. We had our guest Peter.
Yeah,
we did.
Who, if you're listening, Peter, hello out there.
Hello.
We miss you.
The Georgia he will be chapter.
The Georgia chapter
is
growing.
It's growing.
It's one member.
I think he did say he was a grower, not a shower. That's so right. I think that was his one of his quotes the last time.
He's off to crying. A banner start.
It is. Legit crying already.
Yeah. Session.
Everybody have good holidays.
Yeah.
We all hung out. So.
We did. Yeah. We
went to the annual Gala de Gason.
Yes.
And you all had fun. You all had to go work.
Yeah,
because that's how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John missed half of it again.
He did
because he had to come all the way.
I
back
can't
home
wait to see what I get to run for and miss half the party next year.
I don't know. I can't wait.
It's a tradition.
It's gonna be disappointing if you don't have to go get something.
It's gonna be disappointing.
I forget how many people were like, "Do you need something?" And I was like, "A Diet Coke," and I had like a 12 pack by the end of the night. It's like that's all we need. Anyway, yeah, so we're back to the Missing Movie Club, and I am president this time.
El Presidente.
How's that make you feel there, Johnny boy?
Are you stealing my thunder?
I'm just relishing the power while I have it. The power of the gavel.
So
you're out of order.
So I guess we all know who's
point
the president this time.
Yes. Yeah, you want to go ahead and call roll real quick?
All right, our president is, you know. And then...
It's me, Jason, the talent, and I'm here.
I'm gonna hide that thing. Our vice president this month is
me, Pamela, who's always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Hey, you got to walk down the aisle once. And then we've depressed us so badly that we've decided never to let you do
that
again.
So true.
You're stuck to special episodes with Jason.
Yeah. Pretty much just sisters doing it for ourselves at that point.
Yeah.
And then our treasurer this month, the most important position is...
Chris, I'm the treasurer. I'm just going to get the report out of the way now. We're just in the negative. I think we found a penny on the ground at some point in time. It didn't help.
We really
appreciate your support, sharing the podcast, getting it around. But anyway, that's treasurer's report.
And then I'm the secretary.
As you should be.
The secret power behind it all.
Why we're besties.
Puppet master pulling the strings.
First of all, those strings were cut.
John.
First of all, as the secretary, next time you need to show up in some heels. Pinstripe
right. We're going straight back to the 80s with the term secretary.
Yeah, so you know, we get us some coffee and an 8-ball. So that's your job.
Do you have any old business?
I don't think that's not till the end.
I don't know. It's not in order. Oh, it's this sheet.
Yeah,
you got any
business,
new business?
This is number 7.
New business? Is it season 2? Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
Why would we have old business at the end?
Because it's like a business meeting. You do the new stuff and the roll call, and then you do the bulk of the thing.
Can we vote to change that? I think it makes sense to do it before you get to the new business.
Okay. You're the president.
Yeah, I'm making a vote. All in favor?
I'll second that, Jason. I'll second that.
My name's John, and I think it's a great idea.
That's it. I'm only talking like this the rest of the podcast.
Yeah.
We all gonna start talking like this.
So let's talk about this terrible movie.
First of all.
I don't know if I can do that voice.
Tears. Okay. So, if you remember all the way back in season one, when we last got together, I finally got to recommend the movie, one of my favorites, The Last of Sheila. We finally
the
got
curse
to
of Sheila was broken today.
Yeah, the curse.
It seemed every time we tried to get together to watch it, something else happened. Something happened. Got sick. Yeah,
it's been a while. I'm excited because it is one of my favorite movies. I actually saw it when I was probably like 10, and I have seen it, I don't know, 30 times since then, at least. It came out in 1973. We'll just go ahead and say it now. This is going to be filled with spoilers, so if you haven't seen it and you want to watch it, pause this. You can rent it on Amazon. I think it's $2.99, or you can be cool like me and buy the Blu-ray and the regular version. And then come back and listen to the show. And then also, you should send us your feedback after you've watched these movies if you haven't seen them with us. We'd love to share some of that on the show. So this came out in 1973, and it is chock full of 70s fashion, hair.
I loved some of the bikinis, though. Oh, I gotta say.
Gorgeous.
I was also a fan.
Yeah, I think the costumes alone were fantastic.
Yeah, I like
you know them. the big hair that was leading into the bigger hair in the 80s.
The mustaches.
Oh yeah, the porn stashes.
Adam Scott's mustache was.
Adam Scott.
I believe the. Well, yeah. Let's talk about that because
it wasn't Adam Scott, ladies and gentlemen. He's not immortal.
He was not. First of all, I don't think he was a sperm yet.
No, I don't think he is. I don't think.
Is he not back then? Was he a sperm?
He might be older than us. He might be.
No, he looks too young.
Yeah, but I think he's like a Paul Rudd. I think he like you don't really
just doesn't age.
Just like me, he just stays the same.
I found him. I love him in Krampus. So good in Krampus. So while you're looking that up, we can talk about the cast real quick. We have really just 7 main stars because they all have about the same amount of screen time. I would think
Adam Scott is older than all of us, even me, the geriatric.
How old is Adam Scott?
He is 49 years old.
Oh wow,
oh, Daddy.
So he would have been like 1 when this movie came out.
Okay, so you were post sperm.
Yes,
is that right? Post sperm.
Post sperm.
I think that's just called human.
Adam Paul Scott was born April 3rd, 1973.
Yeah, okay, well, he could still get it.
Like I said, he looks good. He looked better than I did.
So, rounding out our cast, starting off is Richard Benjamin, who I knew from the movie Westworld, which inspired the HBO series Westworld. But yeah, Richard Benjamin was pretty big back in the day. I don't know what else he's been in, but he was in a ton of stuff. You'll recognize his face, his voice specifically. I think he has a very memorable voice as
I didn't recognize him from anything particular.
Also in it is the fantastically dickish James Coburn, who we all recognize right away with his toothy smile. And that is a toothy smile.
That I mean, dead tooth right there.
Are you
there,
sure he's not Lee Marvin?
He is not Lee Marvin.
He is not Lee Marvin, ladies and gentlemen.
We had a debate as to whether James Coburn was in Paint Your Wagon.
Which it was not. It was Lee Marvin.
It's Lee Marvin. But you knew who he was, though, right? Before this?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been in a ton of stuff. I don't know.
I can't name anything else, but I know he's been in the
movie. You've seen Maverick.
That
was a new one with Mel Gibson.
He was really big in the 70s,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah. He was big in Westerns.
Also in this is James Mason. He's pretty famous, too.
Yeah.
He's been in a ton of stuff, too, but I didn't recognize him really from anything else. But he also has that voice that's very recognizable.
Oh, he died in 84.
Wow.
He was best known for Lolita. He was in Lolita. Yeah.
A Star is Born, North by Northwest.
He was Joseph of Arimathea.
Hey, he was an Inside Out.
Why did you say that like Yoda?
Joseph of Arimathea.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. He's been in everything.
He's a ton of stuff.
Yeah, wow.
Jesus Christ.
He's been acting since the early 40s.
He was in that, but he played Joseph of Arimathea.
All right.
Bring in some wonderfulness to a character that I'm pretty sure everybody hated. Diane Cannon, who I love Diane Cannon. I would watch her in anything.
Okay, what else has she been in? She was in Kangaroo Jack. That was a high point of her career, I'm sure.
She did play on Ally McBeal as a judge.
Yeah,
she was in That Darn Cat.
Oh, she was, yeah.
The
The new remake, though.
The new, I did it too. The new remake.
We both were very sad about that. Christmas in Connecticut's how I know her too. Okay. So she was in quite a bit.
Yeah.
We also have, I didn't know Joan Hackett. She played Lee.
She looked really familiar.
Yeah, she was not in a lot. And then we have, is it Sir Ian McShane at this point? Or is he just still Ian McShane?
I don't know.
Ian McShane.
No, it doesn't have a Sir on it.
So I guess he's just Ian McShane. He's been around for ever.
I didn't realize he'd been acting that long. Like, because I don't really remember him until...
He was pretty.
2000s?
Well, he was very handsome. Mm. Best known for Deadwood, and he was Blackbeard in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Winston and John Wick. Boys.
And then lastly is the one and only Raquel Welch. She was in a bunch of stuff, but I can't tell you anything that I know. She was more of a model, wasn't she?
She was a model. Was she a
pinup girl? Oh, she was in the original Bedazzled.
Oh, she was a stewardess on Bewitched.
Mikhail's Navy.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
The Last of Sheila is about a group of people.
Shitty people.
They are all awful humans who are invited to spend a week on a yacht with James Coburn because a year ago, someone ran down his wife. She was drunkenly leaving a party walking, and somebody did a hit and run.
His wife?
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I'm pretty sure she was his wife. Wasn't she his wife?
I don't think they ever clarified.
He was banging her.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah,
I thought it was his wife, but I guess not.
Let me tell you, she had such a big role in this movie. I hope she got paid top dollar for running out of a party.
She was clearly a day player.
Yeah.
I mean, she's the next one credited on IMDb.
I know, like I said, I mean, she clearly, she gets upset at somebody, runs out of the party.
She gets upset at him, at Clinton.
And then she gets murdered.
And then she gets hit and runded. And so they all come back and he says for a week of games and fun. And it's weird because they act like most of the movie takes place on the boat. And I think most of it does, right? Like most of it takes place on the boat. Yeah, more than it does outside of the boat.
I'd say 85% is on the boat.
So they're on a yacht and Quentin comes up with his game, the Sheila Green Memorial.
Isn't it Clinton?
Yeah, that's what I said, Clinton.
You said Quentin.
You keep saying Quentin.
I said Clinton!
It sounded like Quentin.
I think that
you said Quentin upstairs once too.
I think, as president, I said Clinton. So Clinton says we're going to play this game. He calls it the Sheila Greed Memorial Gossip Game, where each person gets a secret character that they're playing or a secret, and the object of the game is for everyone else to figure out all the secrets based on clues. And then if it's your character, if you figure out where the clues are and you figure out that it's you, then the game is over. And that's the game. But as we watch the movie, we learn that the secrets aren't fake. They're real secrets because Clinton is an asshole.
It's a real shitty game, let's be honest.
I know, but it's so devised so well. I don't understand. None of these people really like each other either. Like, did you think any of them were besties?
Oh, no.
No.
I mean, even the ones that were, like, sleeping together really couldn't like seem to stand each other that well.
Yeah.
And so then somebody sees the secrets and ends up murdering Clinton. And now we have a whole different mystery.
Was it his secret twin, Quentin?
It was like three people murdered that bitch.
There were three people trying to murder that bitch. You are correct. Yeah.
There were, yeah. Everybody hated, first
off, overall thoughts before we really like dive, because we're going to spoil the whole movie, so it doesn't really matter. Chris, I'll start with you, because Pamela doesn't like it when we start with her.
No, she doesn't. Well, as we pointed out, just obviously, for people that haven't seen Glass Onion yet, the new Knives Out Glass Onion, he said that he was very influenced by this movie, and it's very clear. So if you've seen that movie, this movie, it's a very similar tilt. Even some of the characters are almost, like, dead spot
he
on.
He said that Kate Hudson's character is based off of Diane Cannon's.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I thought it was an interesting... I thought the games, though, that Clinton came up with, which is kind of weird, they were over-convoluted. For what he was trying to get to, and you didn't really understand the rule of it, and so I thought that was a little over the top. But other than that,
I mean, that's just producers, though.
No,
right?
You're right.
Well, do you think Clinton was trying to lord over them how smart he was? Because that's how I felt.
Well,
like, he was
trying
to show, like, look how smart I am at this game.
Well, yeah. Until at the end explained it, I thought everybody got a card for their own, like, what their thing was, like, what the secret was. Whoever got that card was it, but then you explained it that it was kind of weird.
Princess?
85%. 85% of the way through this movie, even at the end, I was confused by this movie 80% through. Then there was like 10-15% where I understood or thought I understood what was happening. And then the remaining 5%, I had no idea what was going on again. It was entertaining, but I think it's one of those things you would have to have really enjoyed it, like really enjoyed the characters in that world, mm-hmm. and want to watch this again and pick it apart like you have over the years,
yes.
to really appreciate this movie. I don't think anybody that's sitting through this one time is going to really, it's going to be like I am right now. I'm like, it was cool. But I don't know. I would.
No, that makes sense. Because like, it's taken. It didn't do well at the box office. Like it was budget. I think they made it was. It cost $2 million to make it, and they made back $2,200,000. So it wasn't a huge success. But I think if you're really into murder mysteries and mysteries themselves, like I think like this is that movie. I look at murder mysteries as like what, Gosford Park, Clue. Right. There are some that you can just you have to watch over and over again to really make sure. And I think this one you pointed out. Yeah. I think if you wanted to sit and watch it again, which I think you should, I think you would have a different appreciation for it, for sure. Pamela, what about you?
I feel like it would have made a better book.
Oh, definitely.
Than a movie. Like, I would have enjoyed this as a book. I think there's some things that are problematic, like the way that being a pedophile can just be like, oh, he's a pedophile. Okay.
Yeah, that bothered me a little bit,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, I think like you had said, it is kind of a referendum. Is that the right word? On Hollywood.
On Hollywood.
Yeah, just they all inhibit like horrible traits of being in Hollywood. They all kind of
apparently the movie was written by Stephen Sondheim and Anthony Perkins, aka the guy that played in Psycho, right? Because they used to create these elaborate games for their friends that would take all weekend in the city of New York or on an island, and they would make them drive all over New York to find the clue that's at the Statue of Liberty. And like, it wasn't a murder mystery though. They never like killed somebody. It was just these games that they would come up with, and somebody's like, oh, this would be a really cool movie. So what they did is they did base a lot of the characters off of specific people in Hollywood and combining people together. So apparently the director guy, who his secret is he's a little child molester, and what I appreciated Chris pointed out very quickly at the beginning, he's like this guy's a pedophile, why is he letting that little girl sit on his lap in the very beginning? And that's one of the hidden clues. Today we would look at that and be like, oh, but in the 70s they would just be like, well, that's weird, but whatever, and then we just moved on, right? We didn't know about the pedophile underground ring that has been continuously brought up about Hollywood, right? We can talk about it. I mean, it just is. And then the grossness of Hollywood, which is these people are not good people and they're gonna go about their lives and everything's going to be pushed under the rug and nobody's going to be any wiser because it's Hollywood and Hollywood is powerful. But they said that part of his character was based on Orson Welles, which I thought was interesting. And I was like, I wonder what part of it couldn't have been the, I hope it wasn't the bad part. But Diane Cannon's character is really interesting because she was based on her actual real life agent, Sue Mengers.
Oh, okay.
And Sue Mengers is hugely notorious in Hollywood. Now, Sue wasn't a true informant. So Diane's character's secret was being an informant. And if you remember back in the day in the McCarthy era.
It's around Chicago.
It's around Chicago. But she informed on a lot of her colleagues to the House on American Activities, right?
Yeah.
Which is basically saying these people were communists. Yeah. And so that was her big secret, is that she screwed people out of work for a long time. Sue Mengers didn't do that. That was based on somebody else. But what's really funny is at the end of this movie, Bette Midler sings the theme song, which is Friends. You got to have friends, right? About 5 or 6 years ago, Bette Midler did a one-woman show on Broadway about a dinner with Sue Mengers. And it was all about how Sue Mengers was this agent. And it's interesting because Sue Mengers was not only Diane Cannon's agent, she was Richard Benjamin's agent. And he did a talk at a university you can find on YouTube. And I forget what it was called, and I'm really sorry. But he talks on there how when Sue called him about this movie, she's like, honey, did you read the script? And he was like, no, I'll read it later. He goes, but you know, and then I'll decide. She's like, oh, honey, I already told them you were going to do it. And the guy interviewed him was like, did she do that a lot? And he's like, oh yeah, we never got a choice. Sue said, these are the people that are going to do this movie. Just like Diane Cannon's character said, oh, well, I'll get her for this part. Absolutely. Then the best thing about this that makes me so joyful is Raquel Welch was told by Sondheim that she was playing a version of Anne Margaret. But in reality, that's not what they wrote. They wrote her to play herself and never told her she was playing herself.
Huh.
And other fun fact, everybody on the cast hated her because Raquel Welch kept acting like a complete spoiled brat the entire show.
Huh.
All of them did not like her. All of them. None of them had, especially Ian McShane's, had nothing kind to say about her. So I think the whole thing was also a potentially maybe a comment on how in Hollywood you can basically get away with murder and nobody's going to say anything.
Still have a job, yeah.
And still have a job, yeah. Right? Because at the end... And
they get away with murder.
They get away...
And make a job out of
and
it.
And make a, three murders, technically.
Yeah.
Right? And they make a job out of it. So, I don't know. I really, really love the complexity of this movie. Because if you... Again, I've seen it so many times. Today, I was like, oh, I didn't even notice that before. And I read this whole list of things that I had noticed before. But today, when James Mason said, oh, I'm the one that helped out Raquel Welch's character. So her secret was she was a shoplifter. My favorite secret was Benjamin's, and it was because he was a...
Tonight, the homosexual!
He was a homosexual, which is one of the greatest things ever. What were the other secrets? Oh, Anthony was...
Just do them in order, Sheila.
Oh, it's true, yeah. So there was shoplifter, mm-hmm. homosexual, mm-hmm. ex-con, mm-hmm. informer, little child molester, yeah. and alcoholic.
Yeah.
At what point did you start to figure some things out? That's my question. At
as
what
soon
point...
as you started explaining it after the credits rolled.
No, I noticed that he had taken the ice pick,
mm-hmm.
and then I noticed he had tried to crumple his up, and then later on they weren't crumpled up, and I noticed there was an extra card because of what they already did. I didn't necessarily put it with him necessarily being the murderer, but I figured he had something to do with Alice, like her psychosis, just because he was very much manipulative in that mm-hmm. way. So I noticed that, but I didn't necessarily put him that, well, when we don't really know, we're still, because at the beginning of the movie, you're still set on, oh, who murder, you know, who killed Sheila,
right? Because that's what you think it's actually about.
Yeah. Yes, and then you come to find out, and then when the second murder happens, that was when I was starting to say, oh, okay, well, and then I kind of started with John's thought. I was like, I bet Sheila's alive, she had a sex change, and she's one of these people. And like, yeah, that's when I said, oh, I think I figured this out, and I didn't want to say anything. So, and then John said it the same, like after the same time that I said it. I honestly kind of thought they were going to go with that route, but that's more of a horror trope, but yeah, kind of middle. I knew that the Tom guy was shady on some level.
I will say my favorite was watching you all react to almost all of the entire movie, but as pieces of the puzzle started to come together, I could feel like, I think the movie did a great job with the tension at the end of explaining what was going on, because I watched all three of you and you were all intently staring at that screen, and I could see, and then at one point John looked at me like, and I could see the wheels clicking in your brains like, holy shit, holy shit. And then it was like, oh my God, he did this. And then there were so many hidden clues throughout the movie pointing us in the direction of A, whose secret had, you know, who had what secret,
right.
And B, what the final thing was, which is that the clue to the killer in the movie is literally in the title.
Yeah.
Of the movie. And everyone thinks that this movie is about trying to figure out who killed Sheila.
Yeah.
And it has nothing truly, honestly, mm-mm. to do with that.
Yeah. Just a red herring.
It's a red herring into a deeper mystery. And I think that's why I like it, because there's so many different levels. John, what about you? When did you start realizing some things were off?
I think when I saw the puppets. I knew those puppets were going to become murderous. Didn't quite expect it the way it happened, but there were so many things.
There's definitely layer after layer after layer.
As soon as something seemed important, then something else would happen that made it not important. That was the interesting thing to me about this movie. There was never like a big twist. Even when you get to the big mm-hmm. reveal at the end, it's not a big twist. It's mm-hmm. just like all these tiny little knife cuts that keep you never understanding what's going on until then it's like, oh, by the way, this is what happens. It's very interesting.
It's so good. Okay, good. Piana.
Can you say her name again?
Piana.
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 Already.
Well, I just thought it was weird. I guess the first part where they started the boat and you never really figure out what's going on, who they're trying to kill. I thought everybody was going to get killed off and there was going to be one master killer. It's so convoluted, and I feel like it needs to be convoluted to have a good murder mystery like that. There's all these little pieces that if they don't fall perfectly together, then it just doesn't make as good of a story. But I guess the first time I realized what was actually happening is at the end of the movie. Yeah,
I think they do such a good job building the tension at the end. I really do. Watching you all, because we made jokes throughout the whole movie, right? Like, which is what we normally do. We make jokes and we watch it and we enjoy it. But I noticed that the room kept getting quieter and quieter. And it was like just watching you all try to figure out, you're like, okay, is he going to try to kill him? How is he going to try to kill him? How is this? What is happening? Whose arm is that? Who is imitating her?
Yeah.
And I was like, that was the best part, is you're all like, that's not her voice. Yeah. Something's happening to her, but that's not her voice. It was, I really loved it. Like, I was like, oh, this is so good. Just watching your reactions to it was the best joy I've had today.
I think I just realized they told us who the killer was a different way, too. Because every time you get the scene where it's the killer moving to turn on the ship or the killer going to whatever, it's always from that first person point of view. And The other time we saw that was when the killer was talking to Raquel Welch.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I didn't really think about that either. Yeah. That's good. You're right.
But that scene where she's talking to him, it's still a third person because you're seeing his arm with the cigarette. Like, they focus in on her in the light and he's in the shadow. Mm-hmm. I mean, that does make sense that they were using that, but they also used it when Alice found the other clue and it wasn't him. Remember when he's in the shower?
Oh, they did do the first person. You're right. Which was such an elaborate trap.
Well, that was a misdirection because You're still thinking, oh, there's the killer, you know.
That was some elaborate underwear in the shower is what that was.
It was so awkward. I was like, why can't well, we then just it see made the me think.
I started to think that there was an extra person you didn't see. That they weren't. Yeah.
You picked up on the card thing very early on, though. Yeah, because all three of you did, because you all kept saying the alcoholic, but it wasn't clicking 100% because you all kept saying, well, who's got the alcoholic card? Yeah. Who's got the alcoholic card? And then Chris was finally like, there's an extra card. It was so good. Also, I was just looking at my notes. Richard Benjamin was based on Anthony Perkins.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's who he was based on, so that makes sense. So some of the clues that I picked up on, which I got, I think, John, you had picked up on it too, but it was way later, which is great. When Tom does an impression of James Coburn, and then later on, I watched you, when Pamela pointed out, she's like, he's dead! Because we saw the body, and you all were like, wait, what? And then Pamela was like, he's dead! Like, that was it. And then I saw your face, and I think that's when you, I don't know, maybe, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seemed like to me that's when you started to realize that there was more to play at that point.
Somebody was puppeting him.
Yeah, oh, with an ice pick.
It's all the puppets.
It's all about puppets. Somebody pointed this out too, I think it was Chris. Because Lee had told Tom earlier on in the day, she was like, oh, I just want to take a hot bath, but the only bathtub is in Clinton's room. It was Pamela. That's who pointed it out. And then when Lee says, I'm going to make a clean exit, all of you were so concerned for Lee.
I thought she was just going to go pop herself.
I thought she was going to just jump over the boat.
You all were so concerned.
Well, I mean, it was so sweet. It was earned because she ended up dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a horrible way to go, too.
Well, yeah.
Right? I mean, I think it was you that said, that's not her voice, that's not her voice. Then I was like,
I didn't think it was either, though.
Like, yeah, because she was so down. Down.
And she was just all, and I was like, she's been drugged.
And then she's like, hi, I'm fine.
I like you. Hi.
What's kind of interesting about that is that that was another part of the misdirection and red herring is because they showed us that scene. Mm-hmm. When the murderer is in there with her, you didn't really need it, honestly.
It was just another red herring.
But it was for the audience, it was a red herring, which I thought was kind of funny because why would he go through all that trouble? Because he knew he did it. So that was just purposely put in there for the audience. He would not have bothered. Like, he might have said, oh, I'm going to go check on her because everybody was concerned about her, but he could have just been standing there just smoking a cigarette and then gone back up and said, oh, she wants to be left alone, because he knew what was happening.
I wonder if maybe he wondered if somebody would follow.
I don't know, but I just kind of put in my mind that scene was purposefully just put in there as a red herring,
and I think that is important that earlier in the movie they clearly show how thin the walls are of this boat. Yeah. So there is no privacy, no escaping. Somebody's gonna hear you. And so he kind of had to play that.
I guess that's true.
It's true.
I guess that's true,
because they keep using like having the music and hearing people.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and the whole intercom snooping on people and stuff.
Which was a nice...
He was just committed to it, too.
Yeah. That could be, too. Yeah, he was keeping up the act.
Like a good writer.
Like a good writer. He's committed.
I kind of admire him.
At that point, you're kind of figuring out, okay, this dude's shady. And then he throws the bottle over the boat, and you're like, that dude's shady.
Yeah,
because the bottle over the boat, it made no sense, right? Because you're just like, well, maybe he's taking it away from her, so she'll stop drinking. But they made such a point to focus on that bottle that you're like, what the hell's the bottle doing in the water? Because even James Mason's character is like,
well, and you actually, over. You hear him dumping it out, too.
Yeah.
You hear the gloop, 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 gloop. The sound effect that they paid money for. It's really funny, though, when you watch that bottle It is thrown into a swimming pool. Well, you can tell that it is not thrown into a dark water ocean. You can see the blue of the freaking
I'm pretty sure when Diane Cannon almost died by that propeller, that was also in a pool.
Well, probably, yeah.
She was talking about when they offered her the role, even though she'd already accepted it through her agent, she was like, well, hell yeah, who wouldn't want to go to the south of France for 3 months? There was like a terrorist threat while they were there, shut down production and all kinds of shit. Huh. But it apparently wasn't as relaxing as we would thought. But she said that the ship that they were filming on was too small, so they still had to build another boat.
Well, yeah, I to have be able no to doubt that.
Right. So she was like, for like 4 weeks, or for like a week or something, we were just laying out on the beach, working on our tent.
Yeah, that outside shots for that yacht were tiny, man. Yeah. That was and a skiff.
She said, like, her character, Christine, says that she lost, what, 30 pounds or something in the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Diane Cannon actually had to gain 30 pounds to play that role.
Wow.
So that should tell you how skinny she was. She had to gain 30 pounds to play that role.
Holy crap.
You
know, I wish I could gain 30 pounds and look that good.
I know.
A lot of cocaine in the 70s.
That's true.
But I was just thinking, too, if you think about it, we knew that she was the informant after it came out, right? But if at the beginning, when you first meet her, all she's doing is gossiping. So it kind of makes sense. When you pointed out that James Mason had that little girl sitting on his lap, it was creepy. It was weird. Yeah. He's the little child molester. Anthony's character, the ex-convent, he said, I went away for assault. At the beginning, with him and Raquel Welch, that guy kept trying to get him to take that bottle of liquor, and he punches him to the ground.
That's
the clue to him to being the assault.
I missed that.
And then the homosexual thing with Tom, there were lots of little, every time he and Clinton talked, there was a weird flirtation.
Well, there was a sense of familiarity that you would
too familiar.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That you would have with a lover.
Because what did he say? He first off, he referenced his buns. And then at one point, do you remember he stroked it? He stroked Tom's face. Mm-hmm. How many, like, you two are really good friends. I don't think I've ever seen either of you intimately stroke the other's face.
When I saw that, it was kind of like, oh, but then you just think he's eccentric.
Right.
You know, Clinton's an eccentric. Mm-hmm. They do set that up from the very beginning.
Yep. And he was especially flirty with him in the priest box before he killed him.
Oh, well,
super flirty with him.
Question, though.
Yeah.
In other movies, the killer has been gay or transgender, etc. Is there a problem with the killer being gay in this instance? Or what's
Before
your take on
Before you
it?
Answer that,
yeah, as, I like as how our it all resident, came to me.
Yeah, as our resident,
as our resident
hit,
expert,
hit the button.
As our
hit
resident.
The
there you go.
I asked you that. I was like, are you guilty of homosexuality? They made it a negative because of all the other things were horribly. And it was a child molester in that mix too. I mean, I get it was the time, you know, what happened? Sorry. You know,
she's over there hand jiving. Yeah. I don't know what she's doing.
Hand jiving because the levels of the secrets are not even.
Correct.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But that's when I ask you that because it is very much a trope to do that.
It was interesting too because one of you pointed out, wasn't it Christine's reaction? She was like, or no, it was Lee that said, do you really think there's a homosexual?
Well, yeah, I said, yeah, that's what I said. Like, she made it sound so like, oh,
like
dirty.
That's, like, but then if you think about it from Lee's perspective, we know it was hinted heavily that Lee was molested by James Mason's character, Philip, right? Because she's like, you were always there for me as the little girl.
And had me sitting on your lap.
So in her mind, maybe in her warped, because unfortunately she's got trauma. I mean,
well, obviously.
I think that honestly, if you really want to go on a whole other, and I'm going to answer your question in a second, but if you want to go on a whole deeper psychological level, why was Lee an alcoholic?
Well, because of that.
Think about the trauma that she experienced as a kid. Because at the beginning, Lee's only drinking ginger ale. And if you notice, as soon as we get on the boat and we start getting around these people and she's around James Mason, Lee starts drinking more.
No, that's true.
And more and more and more. So maybe it's bringing up that traumatic stuff.
Oh, I
and technically, it's drinking that kills her.
It's true. Oh, that's true. That's right. The drinking did kill her. But back to your question. So typically, yes, I find that offensively annoying. But a lot of times within a lot of movies back in that time period and earlier on, the LGBTQ plus person was always seen as the villain. But in this case, I don't think that Tom necessarily identified as like even bisexual. I think because he just said it was a one-time thing. It was just, it didn't mean much to him and it was over. And I think maybe he was exploring his life a little bit.
Yeah, he felt like the guy that's like, yeah, I did something in college one time, but it was a one-off thing. And
it just, it, you know, it's not for me.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only saving grace about it. As a gay person, I'm not mad. I think it's hysterical that he, you know, again, this is my favorite clip from the whole movie. Just the way that he's saying it, like, it's so ridiculous to think. But back then, if it came out that you were a screenwriter and gay, they would have blackballed you in Hollywood. But the little child molester thing was like, sweep that under the rug.
Yeah, no, yeah.
We can pay that person off. It's not going to come out. But I think you're right, too, in that those secrets are not fair playing field for anybody. Because, oh, you shoplifted? Womp, shut up.
Literally one dress, one time. Yeah. Yeah. One coat, one time.
Yeah.
Is that really going to destroy your career? It did destroy Winona Ryder's career for a while. Remember when she got caught shoplifting?
Yeah, but she was a habitual, though. It wasn't just a one-time thing.
That's true.
She was in the news quite a bit getting caught in stores taking stuff.
But then she came back, too.
She's so incognito.
Yeah.
Right. But again, you know, like Christine's, that's a big one in Hollywood. I imagine if that would have gotten out.
Oh, yeah. The
that would have destroyed her career. Lee being an alcoholic, first of all, I don't really think that's a secret because you could just tell that.
Like
you could tell. Like, I was like, that's her secret? That's all you have?
But back in the day, stuff like that wasn't recognized as like a disease, you know.
Right.
Mental
but I
disease.
Don't think it was, I don't think it still would have been an end of it. She would just she would have been a party girl, or you know what I mean?
But
yeah,
I mean,
I don't think
it
would have
seen
necessarily
as a moral failing, though.
Oh, well, that would make sense.
I don't know if by the 70s though. Like, yeah, 50s I would give you. Like 50s, even into some of the 60s, I would see that, but by the 70s, by 73, I don't think that would have been
but
seen
she
as
came
such
for
a
money though, so maybe it would have been a societal.
But see, they would have just, like you said, they would have just kind of, they wouldn't have admitted the alcoholism, and they would have known it, obviously, and they probably would have sent her some, she might even been, because she was drinking, you know, ginger ale.
Right.
So she seems like she had kind of gotten over it. So she probably was sent to some spa, you know, to get over it at
that's
the time.
True.
So I don't really, I agree, I don't think with Pamela, I don't.
But again, this goes back to, he wasn't really calling out sins,
right.
He was calling out things he knew would bother
them.
There you
that's
go,
true.
That makes sense, yeah. That was the things that bothered him.
But still, being a child molester to alcoholic, it's still like
there's a quite a range
there. Well, and I mean, there's a parallel to the ego of that guy too, that he's one of the three at the end that are covering things up.
Well, yeah.
You could have called him an alcoholic even like so, but like that one being the little child molester is maybe just enough to actually tweak him a little bit.
Well, he admits he doesn't want it to come out.
Have.
Right.
Well, yeah, he admits right in there he doesn't want that to come out.
And true, at the end of the movie, he doesn't want Tom to write the movie. He says, I would rather go with someone who has a more naivety about our little inbred circle. Because he can then say, change it to something else
just
that will start with L.
Just
right,
being
like a lech,
like
a creeper.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And then Tom could come in. And I love how they just fucked him in the end by saying, you can come in and do some rewrite.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't win.
That, like, slow zoom in on his face was
pricelessly perfect.
Yeah, it was well done.
What other mystery movies do you like? There's nothing that makes me happier than watching an Hercule Poirot or Blanc or, gosh, just any type of a really good, not a slapstick comedy one, like Murder by Death is okay. Right? Like,
they're making a new one, Marlowe. Did you see the trailer for
Marlowe?
That?
Yeah, it's Liam Neeson.
Oh.
It's in L.A. It's a Raymond Chandler book.
Okay. Marlowe?
It looks really good.
Yeah,
kind of Black Dahlia era.
Okay. I just really love a good, well thought out murder mystery.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? It is a really good murder mystery.
It
just happens to have tunes.
Yeah. Right. No, it's actually very well done from a murder mystery perspective, because you could recast it with humans and still make up something else. Like, it would be fine.
I just watched that again the other day. I love that movie. I used to watch it when I was young. I just rewinded it.
I'm Marvin Acme, being your sound mind and body.
Yep.
I found it on Blu-ray in the $5 bin at the Walmart.
I've seen that there, and I'm
and
like,
I bought it.
Yeah.
And then I watched it, and I was like, damn, I forgot how good this was.
Yeah. I'm sad we never got a good sequel to it.
No,
I don't think we ever will.
No.
I
think at this point.
Well, Chip and Dale.
That was
the closest we'll ever.
That was actually pretty good.
It was really good.
Yeah, I have to admit, I went in with that with like a little like, but that was actually
really
I liked
good.
It more than I thought I was going
Me
to.
Me too.
See, I'm not a huge, big murder mystery person, like reading, you know, murder mysteries. So like movie-wise, I do like the comedies, you know, Clue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The one, Private Eyes. With
such a good movie.
Don Knotts and Tim Conway. I really like Bullet Train.
It's
not really necessarily a murder mystery.
But it's just a mystery.
It is the way they piece this together, like how they bring it together when you watch it, it's very well done.
It
like,
was a book first. And I can't think of any movies that I like, but Ruth Ware, she has some great books, and I can't wait till they start making her books into movies. Mm. Like, she's got some great murder mystery books.
I actually like the new Poirot movies they've been doing, the Murder on the Orient Express, and I love the old Murder on the Orient Express.
Such a good one.
So good.
There's a one of my all-time favorite books in my top five is Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None. That's my favorite because I've always been attracted to this weird genre of you put a group of strangers together and somebody starts getting murdered and you have to figure out A, why are they murdered, and B, what is the connection for these people? What's the purpose? Like, is this just revenge? Is there a hidden secret? So I'm always down for that type. I love a, oh my God, everybody's gathering for the will and slowly somebody starts offing everybody around. I love those types.
I mean, it's obviously a comedy, but the second Pink Panther movie, A Shot in the Dark.
Oh yeah. You know, I used to like Columbo, series. I'd watch that as a kid.
Do you guys remember a show called Father Downing's Mystery?
Yeah. With Tom Bosley.
Tom Bosley. Yes, Bosley. I mean, I loved Father Downing, but I think we've all made fun of me enough, but we all know that there is a certain mystery octogenarian that I love to watch, and it's Matlock.
Matlock, yeah.
The first few seasons were so good because you just sit there and try to figure out along with Matlock, because he didn't know.
Yeah.
He only knew in the last 15 damn minutes of every episode. Who did it? So you got to follow along with it. And I think watching Matlock is probably, Matlock and Clue got me into mysteries in that way. So I think that's why Sheila has such a place in my heart, because one, I love the concept of a murder mystery. Like, I love a murder mystery dinner theater. I love murder mystery games. And to see somebody create this elaborate, convoluted, but elaborate thing, like Clinton, there, I said Quentin that time. Clinton.
Just that time.
The amount of work that went into, we're going to a different port every day for this entire week. And every day there's a new mystery that you have to figure out these clues to. It's brilliant to me. That's like my dream, is to be able to put on a non-secret revealing murder mystery party for my friends, but to come up with something that elaborate, that crazy, that totally is in my wheelhouse. Like, that is, you all know me, like, that is a party I would throw, and it would be epic, and people would be like, I think I figured it out, and then somebody else would be like, no, because of this, right? This is important, right? It's literally a red herring.
I would be like Raquel Welch, like sitting there at the restaurant with just my wine. Pissed. Just like, pissed.
And that's what I love about it. I don't know. I have such an appreciation for this movie. I appreciate the time period that it was set in. I appreciate the mystery aspect of why would somebody want to murder anybody. But like, I think what I loved about it as a kid, going into it and being like, oh, it's about who killed Sheila. And then as an adult realizing that doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
That literally has nothing to do with anything on Clinton's game.
Well, yeah.
And then the killer takes an opportunity to say, let me switch this around.
Why did he kill Clinton?
I think he did it to push Lee over the edge.
Oh, so he could get the money.
Yeah, I think he. That's what I think. I mean, we might as well say who the killer is at this point.
I guess that's true.
I feel like we've hinted.
It was puppet number two.
It was Tom. It was Richard Benjamin, Lee's husband. I think he did it with the idea of either planting doubts in the others that Lee did it, or to push Lee over the edge to see just how far she'd go. Because he'd already killed him when Lee came in. And was like, your game is awful, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, oh, this is perfect. I did it. Because he put the hit and run killer thing in there.
Oh, yeah.
Before they went to the island.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was already setting that up.
Yeah, he was setting it up. I think it was to either A, push her to the edge, or
make her suicide more believable, because then she's responsible for his people's
exactly.
Death. Or even to, you know, in his back pocket, even if everything didn't go the way he wanted it to, she would still be implicated as
in
the killer.
His death. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she would
go
still
away.
Go. Yeah.
And yeah. She'd still
his
go
other
away.
Reason for killing Clinton was to get his movie made, because he had to get the rights.
That's true.
When
he
dies, then the rights will go to where he'll be.
Oh, yeah, that movie they kept talking about that was never going to get
whatever.
Yeah. Freak Show or something.
Freak Show.
Yeah.
So that's a good point for murder, too. Yeah. Because then he would get him out of the way to move forward with what he wanted to do.
I would, if anybody wants to borrow it again and sit back and watch it again, I promise you will find new stuff every time.
The biggest problem I had with it, though, there wasn't enough of that 70s aesthetic outside of the costume.
Did
costuming
you want more
and,
like disco-y music?
No. I wanted the interiors, man.
Shag.
I love 70 interior design. The browns and like in Trolls. Yeah. You know, the Bergen's like castle. I was so excited when I saw this because he's a rich guy. I'm like, ooh, he's going to have a scene where he's got this loft where he's got all this stuff. And it didn't fucking happen.
It was just because it was on the boat.
Yeah.
I think we all agree that all all these people were unlikable. Like, well, yeah. None of them were good people. Yeah. But out of the none of them were good people, who was your favorite character?
Ian McShane was probably the most blameless in this situation. Like, yeah. He was kind of the outsider.
He was. Mm-hmm. He was kind of just a throwaway character. He really didn't have a whole lot to do.
Always in the background, always there.
Yeah, but not really.
But not, I hate to say it, important.
No.
I felt like Lee was the best person, and she was responsible for two of the murders.
Yeah. That's kind of true.
I feel like she was cast as someone that kind of looks innocent and mm-hmm. stuff too, though. Like,
I will always love Diane Cannon's character. She's so brash and ridiculous and unfeeling and self-centered. And
really,
I know that
is it like you see something in her that really you connect with? Mr. President?
Yeah, Mr. President. It's so sad because Kate Hudson's character was also my favorite in The Glass Onion. Yep.
See, that's where I actually liked the James Coburn character, Clinton, because I like a good asshole.
Sure.
A lot of us like a good asshole. That's true. But no, hit the button.
Don't I? The hobo.
But I do. I like.
I'm with Chris too. I like an asshole because at least they know who they are.
Yeah, they're confident in their own just being a dick. You know, they don't care.
An asshole being a dick.
It's the same way with, you know, Gene Kelly's character in Inherit the Wind.
Yeah,
he's just, and he knows he's just like that line he says, "I might be rancid butter, but I'm on your side of the bread." It's to say James Coburn has that mm-hmm. same, you know, he's gonna push their buttons, he's gonna say the things that nobody wants to say, mm-hmm. and he's gonna be unabashedly he's gonna be unashamed about it. And I like that characterization because in myself, I know I'm a cynic and I can kind of be that way, but I just can't let myself be just a complete, you know, jerk.
Right.
I can't. I still have some empathetic.
Totally get it. I would never be a complete Diane Cannon.
I really want to talk about who we would cast this in this.
Oh yeah, we can nowadays, do that.
Because I think that's really fun with this bunch. So
Brady Bunch.
I think the fun thing to do at this point would be to make Ian McShane the Clinton character.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the right age. I think he's got that mischievous mm-hmm. kind of asshole thing he could play. I think he'd be good at that.
Well, Tom, we already know who Tom would be.
Right, Adam Scott.
Adam Scott.
There's I would love to see him take a darker turn.
Yeah.
Because you see a lot of him, he's kind of the same character, like the boyish kind of like...
Hey, yeah, kind of impish.
Wasn't there a movie that he was...
The bad guy?
The bad guy?
I don't know.
That is ringing a bell.
He was in Step Brothers, wasn't he? Like the douchey...
Well, yeah, he was in Step Brothers. He played the douchey big brother in Step Brothers. He wasn't evil.
He played a really serious role in that TV show on Apple TV, Severance, which is really good, by the way, if you've not seen it. But I would love to see him take a darker turn. I would have said Kate Hudson for Diane Cannon's part, but I feel like it's just...
She'd be rehashing Glass Onion. But I guess it's a fantasy casting, so...
I think for... Ian McShane's character, though, if we could flesh that character out just a smidge more, I think it needs to be somebody a little more gruff to me. So I'm trying to think of, like, who would play gruffness in a way that I would like.
Jensen Ackles.
Daddy.
For Clinton?
No, for Ian McShane's character.
Oh,
for Anthony.
I think you could probably pick any, like, because he was kind of such a nothing character, though.
But I think if you flesh it out a little bit more, you could do more with Anthony.
Yeah.
That's why I think you need to kind of give it to somebody that has kind of a natural...
gruffness,
charisma to them that's gonna make that character interesting. So someone that's a really good, like, character actor.
I keep going old, but Anthony should be younger.
He should definitely still be.
In my head, I want to see the version with the guy in the original Producers that played the Nazi guy.
Him
in that role.
Okay, most importantly, who would you cast as Sheila?
Is it wrong that we knew that Sheila was basically a call girl? Was hinted at, right? And I know this is going to be way out of left field, but I think it would be great if Sheila was played by Lindsay Lohan.
Oh,
Yeah.
It's a very short scene. I think Lindsay Lohan would rock a couple of those lines. You're hitting a different demographic, and people know that they only got to tolerate her if you don't like her for like 10 minutes at the most.
It's true.
I enjoy Lindsay Lohan, but I think that she would be good at that.
It would also be great for like a comeback character, mm-hmm. like somebody from our generation that had a big career in like the 90s and stuff and mm-hmm. then kind of lost it.
Yeah.
Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
Who did we say for James Mason's character? We say Sam Neill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Sam Neill would be really
good. And I definitely think they would probably have to change the child molesting.
I don't know.
Yeah. I disagree. That would have to go.
You think so?
It would have to go. It is way too...
I mean, they could make him now, especially with the Me Too movement. They could just make him more of a lecher. Yeah. You know, that he was, you know, sexually harassing women and, you know, being...
How would you fit that under L? Lecherous, I guess?
Lecher? Yeah, being a lecher.
If anything, it works better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get it. I mean, just you can also like the calling out of Hollywood on its...
You can always change the name from Sheila, too.
Well, then we got a whole damn different movie.
The Last of Markeisha.
Markeisha!
Give us a bigger...
Oh, yeah. We recast as people of color. Give us a
bigger cast. Yeah. That is... There's not a lot of diversity in this.
No, from 73. And the little bit
there is roundly racist toward Italians.
Yeah. Well, you could easily change... You could race swap in this show and it wouldn't be a big deal. Like, Raquel Welch's character could be... Any race,
yeah,
I think for sure. So could Diane Cannon's. I mean, it was the 70s. Would you want it set for today, or would you want it set for the 70s again? Like, would you want the style?
You would almost have to keep it. By the way, it's set up now. Mm-hmm. There could be some rewrites to make it modern, but just how the like murders take place and like being mm-hmm. out of communication and mm-hmm. things taking so long to like kind of work themselves out.
I think I'd like it set in the 80s. Just for the fashion purpose.
The 80s could work, yeah.
I would definitely.
The 80s would still give that aesthetic because you're not going to have instantaneous.
Let's just do 90s before there were cell phones.
Okay, yeah, I could do that
early
too.
Early 90s, you late
know,
80s.
Yeah. You know who else I'd like to see play Tom? Who? Bill Hader.
Oh, yeah. I could kind of see
that. I could totally see that, especially the switch at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. That's a great.
But I want to see Bill Hader in everything. Well, so he's one of my favorites.
I'm stuck on Lee. Like, who would I cast as an ingenue?
They put out a Dolly Parton biopic. I want Bill Hader to play her. Like...
Lee, I mean, you can pick any type of just...
Yeah, but I think Lee needs to be somebody that can... I hate to say it like this. Lee needs to be somebody that can act.
Well, yeah.
Maybe you would have the James Mason character... I hate saying this. S.A. Lee, when she was younger. Because you've got to have that clue that gives away that he's the lech.
Well, yeah.
So you'd have to have him S.A. her at some point, which sucks.
Well, yeah, but...
But it, it needs to be somebody that can play that range. Because here's what I hate. I hate when I see actors play drunk and they go so over the top. Right? They don't think about, like, okay, is this how my character would be, or is this how I'm expected to be drunk?
Bullshit. It's bullshit.
See, yeah, there you go. Perfect. It, but that's what I mean. Like, Lee...
Yeah, no, she... Yeah,
if you think about it, you said... Who said Lee was the least worst character? Right?
I said
Lee has a vulnerability to her. Yeah, she killed somebody. Twice. I was thinking for Raquel Welch. What about... is it Gwendolyn Christie?
Gwendolyn Christie?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, she's beyond gorgeous. She's an actually great actress. So I would... I want to cast with, like, some but then other people that you'd just be like, oh, okay. I could totally see her flipping from, like, you know, to the, hey, Tom, are we going to fuck tonight or not? Right? Because that switch at the end... Because you're kind of like, well, she's not horrible. I mean, yeah, she's an adulteress, whatever. But at the very end when she's like, I mean, you're not married anymore, so it's not kind of fun. So if you ever get married again, call me. Bitch.
And now I can hear Bill Hader going, I like a big woman.
Right. Like, you know, I don't know. I just think that would be...
I wonder if, like, Anthony, I wonder if, like, you got somebody, like, I just had his name, and his name is Anthony from Falcon in the new...
Oh, Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie.
Oh, I would,
I think he's got that kind of charisma.
Not him, Winter Soldier.
Sebastian Stan. He could do that really well,
Have you
too.
Seen the interview with him where he's on with Sharon Stone? And, like, he is totally macking on Sharon Stone.
It's yeah, I could see either one of them in that role.
I could too.
For sure.
I'm worried about the Diane Cannon part, because if you put... You can't put a comedic actress, because they're going to take it too far. She still has to be relatable, because in my mind, I was like, Maya Rudolph would be great. But Maya may take it to a whole level of, like, unnecessary funny, instead of grounding
I was thinking...
Haven't you seen Away We Go?
She's great in that movie.
She's fantastic in that movie.
I could do that. Okay. I need to see that. Yeah.
See, I was thinking she was in The Martian. She played the press secretary, but she was from SNL.
Oh, Kristen Wiig?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I'm worried about her taking it, because she was my first thought, too, but I think she's going to go
too far. But that's something the director has to control.
True. True. You'd have to have a really good director.
Because, I mean, in The Martian, she killed that role. She was very serious with it.
You know, okay, so if we had to choose the writer for it to update it, I think Ryan Wilson would probably be the smarter choice.
Ryan Johnson?
I thought it was Wilson. Who's Wilson?
I don't know.
Rain Wilson? That's the guy from The Office.
Oh, yeah, that's Dwight.
Ryan Johnson.
Is that how you pronounce it? Really?
Yeah, oh, right.
But it's weird.
So he did this really great discussion about the opening scene of Glass Onion, and he broke down exactly how he filmed the camera angles and how he... It was brilliant. Like, I learned so much about filmmaking in this 20-minute video of how he created this opening sequence with everyone. And I would love to, because it's got to be somebody that understands how mystery needs to be built, right? So you have to have a writer that's going to update it, because you can't just use the same old script. We've already decided that. We can't have little child molester. We have to change some things. So I would like him to do it. I just don't know who I would like to direct it, though.
I think if he did it, though, I think he would incorporate a lot more flashbacks like he did in Glass Onion.
Do you think that would have helped if Sheila was the one telling Clinton? Do you think it would have helped to have flashbacks of Sheila being the one spreading the gossip about certain things? Because it seemed like Sheila was the one that knew stuff.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Then you get Lindsay Lohan a little bit more.
I'm not decided on Lindsay Lohan.
You gotta like her!
Okay, so how are we rating this bitch?
We are going to rank this on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the best. How many creepy puppets?
That was just so random.
But did you know the puppets were at the very, almost in the beginning?
Yeah.
They were on the cart.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they were looking to buy them. So he's had those puppets the whole time.
Yeah, they were just
so random. So, Chris, how many creepy puppets out of 5 would you give this?
I'd give it 3.5 puppets.
Ooh, 3.5's not bad.
Yeah.
C's get degrees.
It's not something, like, again, but I'm not a huge murder mystery fan. It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. Literally, if they had had a shot with his apartment and it was decked out in the 70s, it probably got a 4. The interior design was lacking.
At least this is a man who knows himself and admits his biases.
Yes, no. So the interior design was lacking, but no, 3.5. I enjoyed it, definitely.
John?
Pamela, can you go next? I'm still thinking.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. I did like the fast-paced talking
that
they did, but it was still convoluted, and I know you need some of that, and I really, really, really have a problem with the little child molester, and I kind of have a problem with the homosexual, too, so.
And I love how he pronounces homosexual.
Well, it almost sounds like hobosexual, which is a totally different thing.
Hobo cop.
So I have a lot of little problems with it. 2.75.
Oh. 2. Wow. Couldn't even get to that 3.
Give it a 3 because it's my favorite.
2.75.
Okay.
It's what you're getting out of me.
So here's my issue.
Oh, Jesus.
My first issue is that it's your pick.
No. I'm coming at this purely. There are a lot of things that I like about this movie. Mm-hmm. That snappy talking, the way they don't try to dumb it down for you. You just kind of have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But again, when that gets to the point that I'm confused by what I'm watching, it cuts down on my enjoyment and makes me not like it as much. To me, other than Clinton and maybe Diane Cannon, there was none of this cast I was crazy about. Ian McShane did a good job, but he didn't have a whole lot to work with. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm only bringing this up because it's a good example. When we watched The Lighthouse, I said it's one of those every time I watch it, I get more stuff out of it. But I'm not going to watch this again because I didn't get enough out of it.
You should.
I didn't get enough out of it the first time.
Sure.
And to me, that's a fatal flaw. It's the same thing with you in The Lighthouse. You're not going to watch it again because you didn't get enough out of it
the first time
to make you interested to come back and look for the clues that could be there.
Mermaid vagina.
So for me, I'm going to go complete middle of the road on this and give it a 2.5.
Okay.
Wow.
And it's purely because of it just didn't connect enough for me to care about it in the long term.
I would like to see a remake. I would love to see a remake.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a remake, I would watch that shit.
Yeah, they were actually talking about doing a remake back in 2012, but it never went anywhere.
They need to reconsider.
Yeah, and you all have valid points, and I appreciate that. I'm going to give it a 5 because I love the convolutedness. I love that I have to work for it. Mm-hmm. I hate when I figure out something early on because then I'm just disappointed the whole way through. I need 50 red herrings. I need to be told, like, oh, you need to look for this in the background. And the enjoyable part for me is, yes, I have seen it, like I said, 30 times, and every time I find something new. And that is a movie for me where it's like, remember in the Where's Waldo books? It was like, once you found Waldo, it would tell you to go back and then go find all these other things that were staring you in the face. And that is what I like about this movie, is that it's all there. Everything is there. And sometimes the things that you didn't even think were there are actually there the whole time. And so for me, the enjoyment is watching it multiple times. I will still put this on a Sunday afternoon when I'm cleaning, and I may catch something that I never caught before.
That actually brings up a point. For me, if I had found this when I was a kid, and it was one of those movies I had on VHS and just kept sticking in to watch, I would probably love it as much as you do.
Yeah.
But being an adult and watching this for the first time, I ain't got time to go back and watch this movie 10 times to pick up all the pieces.
Yeah, I'm saying if I had found this in the 90s, I probably would have liked it more.
Yeah. I think the guy that played Tom said it best in his interview. He said, this is a show that invites you as the audience, is you have to participate in this movie. It's not a movie that if it's the first time you can play on your phone, you can watch the kids. Like, no, it is a, you need to sit down and really pay attention to every single thing. It's just glad y'all got to see it.
It's like watching Memento. Like, yeah. You have to pay attention to Memento.
Yep. That's a great point. Well, yay! I'm glad we got at least two. Okay, take it. We got about a C average.
I'd watch it again. Yeah. I mean, I'd definitely watch it again. I would totally watch it again. Well,
I mean, I would watch it again to see what I missed, like to make more sense out of it. But I would rather watch a remake.
Sure. Well, I'm just glad you all got to see it.
And I don't want you to think my score means it's bad. It's just
awful, and it's fine. So, to move us along, we have to figure out who's going to be our next president, which I believe we spin the wheel for, and then I get to choose how we figure out the other roles.
On our lovely wheel, we have Pamela, John, and Chris, and as the vice president, I'm going to spin this bitch.
Give it a good loud spin.
Come on, Vanna.
Not John. Pamela!
All right!
Yay!
Are we in for some depressed shit?
Oh, God. Please not atonement.
All right. Do you want to pick your movie, or you want to wait a second while we choose who's going to be your VP?
Yeah, let me look at my list.
Okay, so while you're doing that, how we're going to determine who's going to get what role for Pamela is you have to give your best James Coburn impression saying...
Oh, Lord.
Chris... You're up first. Tonight, the homosexual is your phrase.
Tonight, the homosexual.
Very good.
I think I have to stand up to do this because he was standing up.
He was in the boat.
He was in the boat.
He was leaning.
I thought he was like.
He was leaning back.
Okay, well, then I'll just lean.
Lean back.
Fine.
Please don't break the chair.
Tonight, the homosexual.
Thank you. Line?
Yep.
Line.
Tonight, the homosexual. I kind of went a little, what's the guy that was on Hollywood Squares or whatever?
It was Paul Lind.
Yeah, Paul Lind. I went a little Paul Lind there.
I can either do it as me or I can do it as Harry Carey. Which version would you like?
Oh, Harry Carey, of course.
Tonight, the homosexual.
See, even Harry Carey would have put like, the homosexual.
Homosexual.
You gotta accent that homo, because that was the big like homosexual.
I don't know why I'm in this movie. Homosexuals and pedophiles. Hell, that one bitch, all she did was steal a coat. Why am I here? Let me just be the ex-convict. I just beat somebody up.
In that scene, though, before we go, and if it had been a comedy, this is what would have happened. When he's like, I'm an ex-con and I can prove it. And then he said, I got put in for assault. And he would have just punched the bitch next to If it had been a comedy, I was kind of, my brain played that scene out. To like, and I can prove it. And just nailed her right next to him.
One last thing real quick. Can we... appreciate the dedication that Clinton had to dressing up like the...
Raquel Welch.
Yeah.
Oh, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
And that lipstick was perfect.
Yeah, but we gotta say he made an ugly woman. I'm just gonna say.
He looked like...
I mean, he kind of made an ugly man.
He did, too. He's not a very...
He could make a great Mouth of Sauron.
He could, yeah.
Aww.
He actually got more attractive as he got older. Like, and, you know, yeah. he definitely grew more into,
he
like,
was the like sex symbol.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. The teeth back in the day, he man. Ooh, caps. Got that dead tooth right in the middle of the mouth.
All right, anyway, sorry, Pamela. Pamela, who have you chosen to be your VP?
Well, I think Chris did it the most spot on, so... Chris is going to be vice president. And then I like Harry Carey. So Harry Carey
can be... Why am I not the
secretary?
Homosexual!
I just yo-yo from power to nothing.
Those two power had a nothing. Homosexual affair while he's married to an alcoholic. He's off banging Raquel Welch!
As well.
As a homosexual, John!
Lord,
our treasure.
Are you guys excited for my pick?
Yeah, so that means wait, can you just go ahead and say the secretary one more time?
Oh, that would be you.
Wait, I thought you said I was vice president. No, that's Chris. I thought I was treasurer.
No, my secretary.
Treasurer's the shitty one.
Treasurer's the shitty
okay,
one.
Good. That's fine. That's fine. That's all I want is which one has the least amount of importance.
I think I was secretary this time. It was a pity secretary thing. Because I'd been treasurer so fucking long.
It's true. John has.
So I'm secretary?
Yeah, you're secretary.
All right, what work do I got to do?
I expect you to dress up for me, put on a little tight bodice.
Pinstripe.
Not going to happen because I'm chunky.
A little bodice.
Isn't that why you would do a bodice?
Yeah.
I don't need the double D's to pop out. Thank you. I already have body image issues. Thank you.
All right, so
what are we picking?
What movie are we doing?
Oh, here it comes.
Parasite.
Oh, okay. That's right. Chris and John have not seen Parasite.
Mm-hmm. No.
I know the premise of it, but I've never yet.
I'm very excited for it. Yes.
It's a great movie. It's fantastic.
And it's newer.
People wear bodices in it?
Sure.
Or was that just... Oh, okay.
People could wear bodices.
You know what's not in it?
We're going to have to take that book.
Yay! We get to watch The Parasite!
Okay.
Wow.
I'm sure I'm going to love it.
I can't wait. Is that our first foreign film?
I think it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it's our first foreign film. We had our first mystery, and we're doing our first foreign film. Very exciting. I guess we should start wrapping up, huh?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Well, couple quick things. So we want to hear your comments. If you've seen some of these movies, we'll read them during the next show if we get some in. We'd love to hear your thoughts on any of the movies that we have talked about over the even season one's movies. That's totally fine, too. And if you have movies that you think we should see that you don't know if we're on our list or not, go ahead and send them that way, too. Because who knows? You could maybe have a movie that none of us has seen.
Yeah, that would be
amazing. You should follow our show. Share it with your friends.
We're pretty darn cool. At least we think so.
I have a fancy new bright orange card.
It's the only way you could see it.
It's truth. Of all the ways you can listen to the show, so please make sure that you can either listen to us on Anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Stitcher, and Samsung Podcasts, where we are probably in the top 2% at this point for a specific episode.
Also YouTube, if I ever get back to putting them up on YouTube.
And TikTok.
That's
if you ever get back to TikTok.
But TikTok is...
Yeah, but you've got your legions
there are so many
of followers now.
That you can take
your legions. You need to unleash that horde on our
all you have
podcast.
To do is take this scene and just put my face up.
To our listeners at home, I promise next time I'll break that button somehow.
It's gonna be a permanent button from now on.
All right,
do I gotta gavel
you
it?
You gotta gavel it out?
And say we are. Oh, this is so sad. It's like I feel like I should give a going away speech to my friend the gavel. As it will be
gavel.
A while.
Oh, God.
As I bequeath the gavel on to the other queen
also,
of this podcast.
Also, listeners, we are especially fancy because we have an on-air sign, dude.
We
now,
do.
Too.
We yeah. got an on-air sign. If you can we see do. It.
Mm. That way the cats don't come in when they see
that.
That
cat was snoring over there during half
and he
the
was
show.
Adorable.
He was adorable.
All
right, y'all. Until our next episode, this is us. So that story kind of got washed away.
Do you hear
sad.
That too? And it stopped. Mm-mm.
No.
It sounded like a woom.
It sounds like when Scrum is snoring.
Yeah.
Is that what the other one's over there? Is he snoring?
Oh! Okay, it's okay.
It was Scrum snoring.
It's our like, cat is snoring, people.
Somebody's good. Don't let the cat sleep.
It's not bothering me for once.
I'm just happy he's happy.